day. When you are afraid, you should trust in God. So my knees may not be shaking, but I haven't done this for quite a while. It's been 7 or 8 years, I think, actually, since I've been in this position. But it's a privilege, and it's a responsibility. So I pray for God to use me to speak something of value or worth to you today. So let's begin with that. Dear Lord God, we thank you that you have given us your word. From your word, from the thoughts and ideas that you have given to me, I pray that you would speak a word today to those who are here. May it be your words, your truth, from your word, the Bible. In your name I pray. Amen. So I would say I'm a pretty ordinary person. I don't have any seminary training. I'm an accountant. I have accounting training, but that doesn't really translate to being here. I don't have any particular title. I haven't written any award-winning book. I'm not a famous author or athlete or singer or actor. I'm really pretty ordinary. But then I think most of you fall kind of in that same category. You have done some things I hope you're proud of and maybe have done well at, but you didn't get a Nobel Prize for those or an award-winning contract for something that you've done. I don't think you're in the Hall of Fame anywhere. But there's no doubt that we all have gifts and talents, skills and abilities, and we have been asked to use those to contribute to our family here, the church family, our friends, and the community. Still, I think it's pretty safe to say we are ordinary people. I have a friend who likes to ask, what's new? And sometimes there is a good answer to that. I have a new grandson on the way. I've got visitors coming from California. I have a trip that might be planned. Maybe if I asked you what's new, you would talk about a wedding that's coming up or a family reunion. I heard of some people that are celebrating the 72nd wedding anniversary this next week. That's a pretty exciting and new thing. Maybe for Lynn and her family, their son just graduated, Austin, or for Chloe Merton, or for Janae, or the other families, this was graduation weekend, and that would be something new. Maybe you have a new job or a new role in a job. Maybe you got a new vehicle or a new piece of machinery, or you planted a different crop. When someone says, what's new, sometimes there's a good answer to that. It's not a bad question, but sometimes, reasonably often, I have to say, I kind of struggle to find an answer to that when someone asks what's new. I replay the past days and weeks, and I don't always have a good answer to that. I feel a little uncomfortable, like I'm lacking, like something's missing. I really should come up with a good answer. Usually I get into, well, I'm busy with, we are busy people. We thrive on busy. And for many of us, there's a long list, and sometimes the longer the list, the better it makes us feel, the more needed we are. Busy validates us. Busy makes us feel needed and important, and maybe that we even have something to contribute in the conversation. Busy, in and of itself, isn't a bad thing. It's not wrong. We have said we all have gifts and talents, skills and abilities, and we're called to use those for the good of others. But we can also get lost in busy, and therein lies a problem. Busy can be preoccupied, too wrapped up in the things that we're doing to notice that our neighbor is needing someone to talk to, someone to listen to, that we need to encourage someone, that someone needs to talk out a problem. They need to be reassured. Perhaps someone needs a helping hand. Too busy maybe to notice God, trying to tell us something, trying to show us his presence, his love, his faithfulness in our life or to those around us. Then busy isn't so good. But my friend didn't ask what I was doing or what I was busy with. They asked what's new. Well, later, usually too late to give a better reply, I've come to realize that the opposite of nothing new isn't a bad thing. Life is still very good. When I look at life, I say, well, I've got clothes to wear. I have food to eat. I have a place to call home. I have a job. I have a car to drive. I have money to my name. I have family and friends. That's not bad at all. It's not new, but it isn't bad. We spend a lot of our days, much of our lives, in ordinary, in day-to-day things that are very similar from one day to the next. When you think about it, a lot of life is ordinary. If you're a young family, you're making sure every day that the younger people and the adults have got clothes to wear, that everyone's dressed, that those that need to be changed are changed, that there's food, everybody ate today, that everybody is safe, that children have been entertained. It's oftentimes the same thing day to day. In a Sunday school lesson not too long ago, the children were asked, what is one thing that mom says to you all the time? It was for Mother's Day. You can guess what they might have been getting at. But the answer I got was, go to the bathroom. Moms, how many times do we say, go to the bathroom? It's an important thing, but it's pretty ordinary. When kids are going to school, every day they're getting up at a certain time, getting dressed, getting things together, taking the same bus or the same walking route perhaps, going to the same door, going to see the same people. It can be kind of ordinary. Every Monday, the quilters get together here, and they enjoy doing it, but it's more sewing, more pinning, more cutting, more tying. It's not new. It's generally a little bit ordinary. Maybe even those of you that are farmers have life kind of ordinary. Oh, there's the time when seeding is really important, it has to get in now. But when you get out in the field, you're going back and forth or around in a circle or whatever, and it's kind of the same as last year when you were on that field. Maybe you have a new piece of equipment. Maybe it's a different crop. But there's a level of ordinary to that as well. Every month, you get the same bills. The power bill comes. The energy bill comes. The water bill comes every other month. Every once in a while, you get a paper saying your license needs to be renewed. They're pretty ordinary kind of things. But they're not bad. They're things that we're happy to have because it means you have electricity. It means you have water. It means you have a vehicle to drive. So new? Not necessarily. Often very ordinary, but still very good in many ways. 6 weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. Now, there's a what's new story, at least the first time when we read in the Bible of the disciples, and something we experience every year with a level of what's new and maybe a level of ordinary. Today is Ascension Sunday, and if we had read the lesson, we'd have heard how Jesus had ascended to heaven. That, too, would have been new for the disciples at that time. But between those two what's new situations, there was 6 weeks of pretty ordinary. In the weeks between, we've heard that the disciples have kind of a holding pattern. For about 6 weeks, they've been doing pretty ordinary things, like walking to the next community, like eating supper. John 20:19 tells us they were together in a locked room, waiting. John 21 told us that they went fishing. That's a pretty ordinary thing to do if you're a fisherman. Weeks have passed, and we have only snippets of what they did. So yes, the great news of Jesus being alive is new. That was for sure something new. But in between that's been pretty ordinary. Still good, though. They met together. They prayed. They were meeting each other's needs. They were building a relationship with one another, just like they've been doing for the last 3 years. It may have seemed like nothing was happening at all. I don't know about you, but I have times like that in my life when I get a little restless, when it seems like, I don't know, things are okay, but maybe they should change, maybe they didn't, maybe they shouldn't. You look around to see what other people have got. Maybe just a little too ordinary. Here in our congregation, John Mark is away, And we know that it's perhaps something new that we could tell if someone's wondering about. But we as a congregation may miss him at the helm here for these weeks. But life is still good here at Trinity. Things are still happening. God is still here with us, whether John Mark and his family are or are not. Now, you might get a so-so sermon or a worship experience someday, but we still come together as a family. We remember some of the gifts and talents, skills and abilities that God has given to us, and we use them in this family and beyond in whatever way we are able to. Psalm 66 says, "Come and listen to what God has done for me." As we share our lives, we can speak words of truth and encouragement. We come together here as a family, as ordinary people. But God loves ordinary people. He loves people just like you and I. God is gracious to us and blesses us, Psalm 67 told us. I believe a lot of life is spent in ordinary and everyday. In times where we put one foot in front of the other and do the usual, the ordinary. But that's not bad. Some of the richest times are not in the great events of our lives, as good as those times are, but in the more ordinary kinds of things. When we get together for a potluck supper or lunch and visit together. When you're going for coffee with someone. I remember days sitting in a lawn chair in a driveway with John Ginther for a long time. Maybe you're going for a walk. Maybe you're reading a storybook to a child. Maybe you're visiting a friend in hospital like I was able to do a couple of weeks ago. We had 3 days of visiting, all in the hospital, but it was a good 3 days, good experiences, building relationship. Two of the richest, most ordinary moments I think of can come back to me in just a moment. I call them Kodak moments, because they happened a long time ago, but I can still see them. It's about 29 years ago, and it's springtime, and there's a big water puddle in the corner of the street, and there's a little boy, it'd be Aiden. I thought it was Gareth, but I had to readjust that memory because of the time. It's Aiden, and he's about 4, and he has a little hooded jacket on, and a little red baseball cap, and his yellow boots, and he is walking in the water puddle. And he has a stick. And he is playing and having fun with the stick and his rubber boots in the water puddle. Pretty ordinary time. But that memory is still there with me. It's a very rich memory for me. There's another one in September. It's a really nice September. The kids are back to school. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's quite hot out. And the wind's blowing a little bit. And I am pushing a little girl. It would be Kayona. And the swings, because we lived across the street then. And we're just pushing back and forth as much as the swing goes, back and forth, ordinary, ordinary, back and forth. And that memory is there too. It's a rich and very important memory for me, of ordinary. And I think probably if you think about it, you have some ordinary experiences too. Some very rich times that you can go back to and you can remember with great fondness, because a lot of life is lived in ordinary moments. We are nourished and fed by God's presence in all of our days. Sometimes we might be too busy to see it, but He is there. We are blessed by the wonder of His creation. We are supported by the relationships we have built and take time to experience and to build upon. In 3 John, Paul writes to Gaius. He says, have you heard of Gaius? I don't remember him. He's not such a famous person or any big name that I remember. But when we read, it says, he tells of his faithfulness to the truth. That's what John is talking about in 3 John, that Gaius had been very faithful to the truth. Here was an ordinary person, but he was being held up for his faithfulness. I'm reminded of a Steve Green song, a favorite of mine, that says, "Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. May the lives we live inspire them to obey." Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Perhaps John would be writing about us and our faithfulness if we had been there at that time. He's talking about Gaius and his faithfulness, but it could be about us because we are called to be equally faithful. And that comes in what's new, perhaps, but much more so in the more ordinary and everyday times. When it seems like nothing is happening, or not much of a consequence, perhaps, we are called to be faithful. What's new? God is in those moments, those special experiences. But God is also the God of the more ordinary times, the times when I struggle to answer my friend's question. God is good. Life is good with God in it for all the times, the happy and the sad, the busy and the troubled and the confusing. God is there alongside of us. Another song says, yesterday and today and forever, you're, speaking of God, the same. Ever constant, never changing is your grace. Later, ever faithful is your steadfast love for me. We have a God who is ever faithful. We are called to be faithful too. We need to follow Jeremiah's advice to simply trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him, says another verse. Blessed is the woman who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. When what's new happens, you can trust and have confidence in the God you've come to know over a lifetime. In the ordinary, we also can have the confidence that God is there, the one we know over our lifetime. And the older you are, the more evidence you should have that you can trust God. Jude is a call to persevere, to build ourselves up in faith through prayer. It reads in verse 26, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love, yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. He's talking about living out our lives in words and deeds, our entire lives, as long as they may be, with all of the what's new and all of the more ordinary kinds of things. We have a very faithful, ever faithful God. We have a God who loves us in every moment of our lives. We have a God we can trust, and our confidence is always in every circumstance in him. God is present here today and in the what's new of your life and in the day-to-day and ordinary. I pray that you may experience that anew.